Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Noonday Bible Study. We are so excited that you are here and you are tuned in. We thank God for you, and especially you. Just another day that God has fed us. We welcome you on behalf of our co-founder, Archbishop Ruth W. Smith. And we thank God for his mercy and his grace. Just another day God has spared us, woke us up this morning, set us on our way, and we are excited by what he's going to tell us today. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. We magnify him. We glorify him. We lift his name high. And we tell the world that Jesus is the answer for the world today. No matter what's going on in your life, he is the answer. Amen. He is what you need today. And we love God for his mercy and his grace. Hallelujah. And we pray that those of you who are traveling on the way, we pray that God would continue to sustain you, keep you, and bless you. And so we thank God for this day, and we love God for what he's about to do. Amen. And we love God, amen, for how he is going to move in this place today. Amen. And so we're going to open with a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Sister Jeanette to open up with a word of prayer, and then we'll get started.
We magnify you. We exalt you, Father. We thank you for allowing us to be in your presence today, Father. We lift you up. We magnify you. And, Father, we come against the hindering forces that would stop us from doing your will, Father. And we speak forth your word, Father, as we learn and rejoice in you, Father God. In Jesus' name, we give you honor, glory, and all the praise. And let the Lord say, amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen. We thank God for what he's doing in our lives. We thank God for your message today. Amen. Thank God for you, especially you. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on and give God some glory on today. Truly, he is worthy of all the praise and all the honor and all the glory. We thank God for just giving us another day. Hallelujah. To lift up his name, to give him glory, to give him praise and to give him honor, and for giving us this time to come together to share the word of God. I tell you, God is good. He is awesome. And he is always faithful unto us. So we just want to lift our hands and lift our voices unto the Lord today because of his goodness and because of his mercy. We can trust God. Trust God with all of our heart. Lean not to our own understanding. In all our ways, we need to acknowledge him, and he'll direct our pathway. So we are just so grateful, hallelujah, for his son who died on the cross that we might live again. And we thank God, hallelujah, that we have answered the call. He called us, and we answered the call. So we thank God, hallelujah. Thank God for giving us the ear to hear and a heart to receive his word on today. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. We magnify you, Lord. You are so great. You are so awesome, Lord. We know that the earth is yours and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Everything belongs to you, Lord. We thank you for it right now, Lord God. We give you glory right now, Lord God. We give you praise. We give you honor, Lord God. Hallelujah. You are the magnificent one. You are the great I am. Hallelujah. You are the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We bless you right now, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for giving us a mindset to come out to the house of the Lord, to study your word, to show ourselves approved unto you, workmen that need not be ashamed, but able to rightly divide the word of truth. God, we thank you, Lord God. We glorify you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for these vessels who have come in, Lord God, and those who are coming online, Lord God. We thank you right now, God, that you will supply every need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, whatever they stand in the need of, whatever we stand in the need of, God, we know that you got it because the earth is yours, Lord. So, Father, we thank you, Lord God, that as we lift up our voices unto you on today, Lord God, as we lift up our heart unto you, Lord God, and as open up our mouths, Lord God, and pray to you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that every need will be met. And so, Father, we thank you, God, and we glorify you. We magnify your name, God, and we thank you for all that you are doing, God. We thank you, Lord God, that all that you have done, God, and the things that are going to work out for our good on today, God. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. We honor you, and we glorify you, oh, God. We thank you, Lord God, that we are healed. Healed from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. We are delivered. We are set free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because you are the healer. Hallelujah. So we thank you, God, and we glorify you, Lord, and we magnify your name, and we thank you, Lord God, for come on in, come on in. Hallelujah. Thank you, God, for all that you do. Hallelujah. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness toward us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord God, for giving us that hope, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we thank you, Lord, for that hope, for that peace, for that joy. Hallelujah. Joy unspeakable right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Thank you, God. We bless you right now, God. You are awesome, and we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God, for just helping us, oh, God, to be who we are in you. And we give you glory and give you praise and give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah.
We not depend on technology.
Can't depend.
We thank you, praise God. And we have Romans 8 chapter. Amen. Stopped, and we're going to start at verse 17 today. And so we have been told by Paul that therefore there's no more condemnation. And so because we walk after the flesh, so we're walking after the spirit. And so there's no condemnation. And the whole crux of this chapter is about the Holy Ghost and how it's necessary in our lives. And how we need the Spirit of God, and how he's saying, if you are led by the Spirit of God, you are the sons of God. And so I began to think about how if you're led by something, that means that thing has control over you. Is the only way you can be led by somebody if you surrender your will and follow them. And so God wants us to surrender our will and follow his will. And so if we do that, then we are showing ourselves that we are sons of God. It says that as a scholar is in his learning is led by his tutor, and as a traveler in his traveling is led by the guide, then a soldier in his engagement is led by his captain, not driven as beasts, but led by rational creatures, drawn to the cord of the man in the bounds of love. So whatever we are being led by, we're following, and we're controlled almost by what we follow. And so we got to submit then ourselves in believing that his guidance, that the guidance of the Holy Spirit is what we need to do. And it's our privilege that now we are called sons of God because we are receiving and submitting to the adoption that he gave us. And so I thought about how the Spirit is so necessary for us as we live this life, as we try to navigate through life. We need the Holy Spirit so desperately. And I began to think about people who have come into this world and they were gifted and had great talents and they impacted the world. Now, you can say they're good or bad, but when I think about Whitney Houston, when I think about Michael Jackson, when I think about Prince, when I think about all these people who had great talent that they realized that only God could have gave them, they recognized that it came from God. But the deal was, in order to complete your assignment in the world and be really effective, you need the Holy Ghost. You need a spirit. And the thing is that they realized they need a spirit, but they went to the wrong spirit. Drug is a spirit. Y'all know that, right? Y'all know that, right? Drug and alcohol is a spirit. If you go to the liquor store, they call it what?
Spirit.
Okay. So the thing is that because they realize they can't do it on their own, they think they need some help, and they went to get help, but they went to the wrong place. And so as a Christian, we know where our help comes from. The Holy Ghost is our assistant. He is our guide. He directs us, leads us, and we got to depend on him. But these people, if you look at their lives, I saw a thing on Anna Nicole Smith. They came to this great fame, but they couldn't handle it because they relied on another spirit into their demise. And so as Christians, we are empowered with supernatural power. We are. And that's what Paul is telling them, that, listen, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lies in you, and he's going to quicken your mortal body. So even your mortal body is impacted by the spirit. And so we got to make sure that we don't get caught up in the wrong spirit. Because, and like I said earlier, I think last week, that even our carnal mind is a spirit. And I used to think that we just talk about the flesh. But when you talk about the flesh, is a spirit. It's the way you do. It's the way you respond. It's your culture. It's stuff that's gathered up in your soul, which is spiritual. So even your carnal mind, when we say being carnal mind versus spirit, both of them are spirits. One is the Holy Spirit, and one is your own spirit. And your own spirit, when I say your own spirit, I mean your soul, that you have been given, and that thing has been affected or infected before you were born, because your parents, your ancestors, pass on some stuff to you that you're not responsible for. They just pass it on to you. Then, as you came into the world, your soul began to collect stuff. That's why our soul is the one that needs to be saved, not our spirit, but our soul needs to be saved, because our carnal mind, our spirit, our soul have been collecting stuff down through the years, stuff we go through, our environment, all this stuff comes on us. So when we get the Holy Ghost and get saved and born again, now we have to transform our mind. And so our soul has to now learn a new way of living. We have to adapt to now a new way of doing what we do. And so the daily, that's why Paul says when we die daily, we don't die physically. We just get rid of that soul stuff that's not good for us. So we got to get rid of stuff that's in our soul that's contrary to the will of God. And so that's when he says we got to die daily. You don't mean we got to just start cutting on ourselves to get rid of this flesh. Is the carnal spirit that we have to get rid of. And so we got to make sure that we are conscious that we're dealing spiritually stuff, not natural. And that's why even Paul says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Everything we do is not about the physical. It's about spiritual, because we're spiritual beings. We have an earthly experience, but we are spiritual beings. And so even our soul is a spirit. Is a spirit. And so I don't want us to get confused about when we talk about being carnal or being spiritual and think one is just physical flesh.
You know, what's great about those people who are not in Christ, and even some of us who are in Christ, we get it confused. We get that
okay. The, you know, the center man, he look at it as I work on my outer body. You know, I want to make sure that is taken care of. That's where my main focus. But we as being saved should be the spiritual man, because we know that we get in a situation where we need some help. And the help is not on the outside. It's dealing with that spiritual man. And how do we get the help? We go into the Word. We begin to pray. We spend time with the Lord, and that's how we get that type of help. I think the problem is it's just a type of confusion. And the reason I'm saying that is because sometimes I have to check myself. It's not about your other body, Ollie. That's not going to help you get back in line with what God needs you to do. You got to go somewhere else for that. And that's when those different types of spirits come in. And you're right about the spirit. We got to know what spirit that we are dealing with. And I believe me as being a child of God. Matter of fact, I know me as being a child of God. I can find myself in the wrong situation sometimes. And I got to know when to pull out and back out.
Mm-hmm. I think that is I think that's a key. Know when to pull out and back out. Know when to come out of it. You know, something that you're in, even though you're born again, but you're in some stuff. And you don't know how bad the stuff is until you kind of walk out of it, and then you're looking back at it. Well, no, that wasn't even right. But when you're in it, you're not thinking of it as bad. But once you come out of it. So the thing is, even the person that we think is not born again, may be born again, but they don't never live by allowing the Holy Ghost to lead them. And so I think that ends up being a difference, is a born-again person can end up living in the permissive will. In other words, they die to go to heaven. But on this side, they never accomplish the things that they were trying to accomplish. I think that's the way that goes. Mm-hmm. And if you don't listen to the Spirit, or if you don't listen to the people that come in, because God is going to send somebody. And if you don't listen to the person that God sends your way, then now that time is lost. It's gone, because you did not listen at that time to the person that God sent. Now, he may send somebody else. He may keep sending people. But the thing is that, hey, God, he may send someone else to talk to you about the same thing. He keep talking. But, of course, you may stay in that same thing and die in it. But you still may be born again. You just have not. See, people who have not received the Holy Ghost, can walk like in a carnal state, like they're not born again. We as people who are filled with the Spirit, we may feel like they're not born again. But if you really, really focus in on it, you'll kind of know the fruit. You just know they caught up in something. And they need your prayer. They need you to lift them up. They need you to pull them up and all of that, because they're caught in something that they may not even understand themselves. Like Pastor Butterfield was saying, our ancestors has left some things here that we have to deal with, and we don't really know what it is. We don't know what it is. And so as we mature in the Lord, the Word will show us. And when the Word show us what the situation is, then that's when we need to start working on it to get it straight.
And the good thing about it is, because we adopt and chosen, when somebody's born into your family, ain't no choice in the matter.
Yes.
You're just born into that family.
Yes.
But when somebody adopts you, they go and say,
that one.
God chose us. So in his choosing us, whom he foreknew, he chose. He called us, he justified us, he cleansed us up, and now he's going to glorify us. And so if he called you, you are called. And you're going to fulfill his mandate. Period. I look at the life of Samson. Samson messed around for years, almost all his life. played around with women and didn't fulfill all his mandate that God had, but on his deathbed, the day he died, he accomplished what God had him to do, because God is not a gift is without repentance. God ain't going to say, hey, I didn't know you was going to do that. I shouldn't have gave you that gift. Thank God. Hold me for you, because we got to understand time is scooped out of eternity. And God is in eternity watching time. And he saw that, he sees the end of it. And he said, okay, I'm going to choose Ollie. I'm going to choose I'm choosing the net. I'm choosing. So he already chose before it began. He chose us because he already knows what we're going to do. That's why he didn't even put his hands on some people, because he already knows. And some of them are going to do good. Some of them are going to do real good. I think preacher said on Sunday, the man who saw the offering was doing something in his eyes was good. I mean, he don't want the ox to fall. And he's doing something good. But it ain't a God thing. It seemed good, right? But you can't do things out of order. So God chooses us. And my belief is that if he chose us, there is no way that we're going to be lost. That's me. Because King playing Russian roulette, you know, he knows already. And that's why he gave John the vision to show him the things going to come. That's why we can see things in the future through the Spirit. We can see dreams. We can have visions, so he can let us know about the future, because he already know it. I mean, have you? I mean, I don't know about you, but I have dreams and premonitions where I see stuff happening. And all of a sudden, I'm in a situation, and I see it unfold in front of my eyes. And I'm just observing. That's God who showed me before time, because he already knew it. We didn't know it, but the Spirit of God will show us stuff in the future. So that let us know that no matter what, if you have been chosen by God, you are a child of God. Now, the thing is, we can live a life that beneath the privilege that he gave us. We're going to get into that. And so when we talked about Paul started to tell the churches that, listen, when you get to heaven, your work's going to be tried. And so you're going to get in, but your work's going to be tried, and so your reward is going to be less. We're going to make it to heaven, but I ain't just want to make it to heaven. I want to get some I want to get some great reward. And he says, when he says, well done, thy good and faithful servant, you wouldn't rule over a few things, I give you, make you rule over many. So now we got to understand that the Spirit of God is necessary in our lives, no matter what we do. And when he says, seek ye first the kingdom, it don't mean that the first thing you do in the morning is you do your devotion. And then for the rest of the day, you don't think nothing about it. That's not what that means. That means everything you do, he's first. You check with him before you do everything, he think about kingdom first. Where did I go this morning, though? Who did I talk to? All these things is first in your life. Then everything else will be added to you. But if you just seek him first early in the morning, like David says, early should I seek you? And then the rest of the day, you ain't thinking nothing about it? That's not what we're talking about. But a lot of times people get religious, and they got their devotion first thing in the morning. And then the rest of the day, they ain't thinking nothing about it. But he says, seek ye first, meaning that everything, he has to have divine priority in your life. Whatever you think about, whatever you want to do, he has priority. That's seeking him first. Okay? Go ahead.
That's what I'm talking about, what Pastor Butterfield is saying right now is the fact that when we are looking at somebody, that's what I'm saying up front here. When we are looking at someone, we cannot just say they're not born again because of what you see them doing. Because either you discern it by the Spirit that they are born again, or they confessing it and you receive it by the Spirit. But in this life, when that person is on their sick bed or whatever, we don't know what. We don't know what they done worked out with God. Because God ain't like me. God ain't like us. No. So, therefore, we don't know what he done worked out with that person, even though they lived a shabby life right here on the earth. And all we seen was the shabby life. But now they're on their deathbed. We don't know what he done discussed with them and what they done discussed with him. Because when we forgive, God forgives. So we don't have to be thinking that we're not forgiving. If God, if we ask for forgiveness, God will forgive us. And so we may have lived that shabby life here on the earth. And then we die and we go to heaven because we are born, we already were born again, or we get born again at that point. So if we did everything that we needed to do because we were born again, then there wouldn't be these levels in heaven. You know, like I did everything I needed to do. So therefore, it wouldn't be levels. Like some folk going to have this level and some going to have that level and all of that because you didn't do everything that you needed to do. If we all did everything that we needed to do here on this earth. Okay?
I just want to make sure we understand that. So great that even if you want to know that person's salvation for a kingdom reason,
mm-hmm.
the Holy Ghost will reveal.
Yeah.
So if you want to know just to be known.
Just to be known, yeah.
That's a different thing altogether. And so that's why the Holy Ghost is necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're trying to think about something, the Holy Ghost says, that is not your business. Work out your own soul salvation.
Yeah, and you'll be doing good. Yeah.
Sheep around your own front door. Before you try to sheep around mine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I'm just going to put it like this. Mm-hmm. God does not need my input. He don't
mm-hmm.
need your input.
Mm-hmm.
And thank God he does need our input because I will give the
wrong input
on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got it all together and
right.
I'm the one that needs to
exactly.
be so.
Yeah. There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes, we are good. So our spirit bear witness with the Holy Ghost, and they connect
mm-hmm.
that we are the children of God.
Mm-hmm.
So now, like I was saying last week, when you are a child, I see a young picture of Elder Ben
mm-hmm.
and his son looked just like
him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So is. Put that on tape.
That's all I'm saying.
And so because that is his dad. And so if we have the Spirit of God in us, then we will resemble our Father. And just like I was saying last week, that even when you have a couple who've been married for years, physical structure may be different, but for some reason they look alike. Because it's spirit. It's not the natural, but for some reason you look at them and for some reason they look alike. And like Bishop Ruth and Pastor Ann, she thinks they look alike. To me they don't, because their facial structure to me is different. Yeah, but see, because I see her from a different point of view. You know what I'm saying? And so the thing is that, but if you take a picture, and if you take a picture of people, you can really see some angles of them that you wouldn't physically see just looking at. Because it's spirit. That's all I'm trying to say. It's spirit. It's not actually the actual curvature of their faces and all that stuff, the eyes and all that. It's not the same. It's because they have the same spirit. They have the same soul from the same daddy and mom. So if we have God's spirit in us, somebody ought to tell. You're a child of God. You some kind of way.
Even in the family, in a natural family, some of my siblings look like my mom and some look like my dad. Now, people that may know me and don't know them, they may say, oh, is she a part of your family? She kind of look like you are. They may say, oh, I didn't know she was a part of your family. But we should be, people should be able to recognize us being a part of God's family. Whether we're supposed to be like him, whether we look like him or not, the way we carry ourselves,
right.
They should be able to recognize, you know, who we are. We shouldn't have to tell them. And we shouldn't have to wear a shirt saying that I'm a child of God and acting a fool. We shouldn't have to do that. I'm talking about myself now. But, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amen. So that's verse 16. So the spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So let's go to verse 17 and 18.
Jeanette.
This is Jeanette. 17.
And since we are his children, we are his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering.
Ah.
Did you want me to continue?
17,
18. Okay. 18. Yes. What we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later.
Mm. That's a good scripture, right?
Oh. So God is letting us know that if we confess, if that's what we're confessing, that's what we're going to show. We're going to act like a child of God. And the blessings that God has put out there for his children, us saying that we are his child and walking in his way, we're going to have those blessings.
Mm-hmm.
However, it doesn't mean that we're not going to have suffering sometimes.
That's right.
But through the suffering, we will have success because of our walk, mm-hmm, and our trust and belief in God.
Mm-hmm.
And so no matter how we suffer, his glory is still there.
Yes.
And will always be with us as long as we walk and believe and trust in him.
Amen. Amen. That's great.
That's a question mark right there. So you got to know that you are a child of God. And then it brings me back to this too, what you was talking about earlier about Prince. You know, they were trying to find out if he had left a will. Mm-hmm. And I look at that as being, hey, if he did leave one, that's an error out there that's going to be left everything that he got. Okay, when it comes to Christ, what Christ got in store for you and I, they're going to be eternally. But what's going on with the natural, that's not going to last. It's going to, you know, it's going to vanish. It's going to fade away.
Mm-hmm.
And then another thing Paul is trying to get us to see, Christ suffered. What makes you think that you're not born to suffer?
Yeah,
our Savior suffered. He said, if you be a child of Christ. So if you are Christ's child, get ready. You're going to suffer.
Mm-hmm.
So we have no need to complain.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We're not going to go through nothing that he have gone through because he have went through the rigors for us and then some. Mm-hmm. So he's just making it plain. Be of good cheer. You're going to suffer. I have warned you.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea for you to understand that you're going to suffer. You're going to have the trials. You're going to have the tribulations or whatever. You are going to suffer in this life. But he says no comparison to the glory that he has for us. That suffering can't compare to nothing that we can go through here on this earth. That suffering cannot compare. When we're in the suffering, we may feel like this is just too much to bear. But guess what? He would not put more on us than we can bear. And we have to understand that one too, because he put his spirit in us. And as he has put his spirit in us, I may not be able to take what you can take. And you may not be able to take what I can take. But God has put his spirit in me, he has put his spirit in you, for you to be able to handle whatever come your way and whatever come my way. He has given me enough power in me to be able to handle whatever come my way. All right?
For a new Christian.
Oh yeah.
Born again Christian.
Oh yeah.
And sometimes those that have been in the Word for a while, some things that come upon us,
mm-hmm.
you know, they say.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
You know, and we're saying, Lord,
help me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I understand. Yes.
I'm dealing with myself. But like she said, we that been in Christ for a while, I'm trying to make myself like when I go through stuff, if I'm trusting God, quit complaining about it, that's just delaying my blessing.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, like what I've been going through this past week, I've been complaining about it. Because, you know, I think it's dumb and stupid. It may be dumb and stupid, but the Lord wants me to, because when I go to complaining, I'm taking my focus off of him, and I'm putting my focus on the problem. And that's what he don't want us
to do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Out of the question for us to rejoice, because, you know, others look at, what you're rejoicing about? Well, this just happened, and that, and this, and that. And you rejoicing? Oh, the house is on fire. The car blew up, and you rejoicing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so they just think, you know, something's loose up there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If children, now, being a child of God, you know Daddy got you.
Mm-hmm.
Our earthly fathers, we have so much confidence in them because they are our fathers. Now, our fathers have limitations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But Daddy God ain't no limitations. So if we ever, that's why Paul said, if you are children, if you're children, then don't think about stuff you got to go through. Understand you're a child of God. So if you're a child of God, then he's saying, listen, you are heirs of God. Meaning that whatever God has is yours. David said, the earth is the Lord, and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. So my daddy owns everything. So I don't need to worry about anything because daddy got it. Now, the thing is, daddy always gonna please me. My mama loved me. Well, that song said she loved me like a rock. But when I did something wrong, I got a whooping. Now, all my siblings thought I was spoiled because I was a baby. But she didn't spare nobody. But I knew she loved me. Even during those whooping times. You know, they had that statement, it's going to hurt me more than hurt me. But because I know, and the thing about it, my mom always was progressive. I don't know how she built two houses from the ground by herself. I don't, I, and everything cash. Never had a loan in her life. And built, I mean, from the ground. But I got a mindset that there's no limit on what I can achieve. And so if I know I am a, that's why Paul said, if the children of God recognize who you are. If you know who you are, confidence is nothing, ain't nothing. Because you know who you are. But if you don't, you're in trouble. First thing Satan came to Jesus was what? If you do, you want to check your identity. If you ain't got your identity right, you're in trouble. But if you know my daddy owns everything, and not only that, he controls the world. He controls everything. And so everything, the only thing that could happen to me is what he allows. So if I have the understanding that my daddy would allow stuff to come into my life only to get me closer to him. That's the only reason why he put anything in my life. Job didn't know God like he really did until after his trial. Now, Job was an upright man. God bragged on him. But when we got the 41 or 42 chapter and God started to tell Job some stuff, Job says, woe is me, right? But whatever you go through, and I try my best, that if anything happened to me, anything, I mean simple stuff, if I put something down and I come back and I don't find it, I start talking to you. See, okay, what's this about? Because I know I put it, I believe I put this in. You know where it's at. Please show it to me. Teach me what you want to teach me in this moment. Because everything I believe that happened in our lives, God is trying to get us closer to him. So if we are the children of God and we are heirs of God, and then Jesus messed around and made us joint. We're joint heirs with Jesus. Do we really understand what that means? We are joint heirs with Jesus. And so whatever Jesus, and at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to fall. And so you joint heirs with that. Do we really understand that? We are joint heirs with whatever the name of Jesus said. When demons hear his name, they tremble. So what are you afraid of? You joint heirs with Jesus, meaning that you equal, side by side. Your own thing with Jesus. Because of what his finished work on the cross did. He moves us into a place where we have never been able to. Now we are children of God. We are children. We ain't like Prince Charles. He got limitations. But our daddy owned the whole world. And so that's why he can call somebody up in Europe. Because sin can never accept forget. That's why he can call anybody from anywhere and say, send it. Because he owns the world. And he's not there. He don't see by it. He don't see by it.
Okay. Oh, what you mentioned, join us with Christ. We're joining us with Christ. I thought about St. Paul. He was joining us with Christ. Then the demon said, Paul, I know. And Jesus, I know. Who are you? Because whoever was trying to cast it out was not a joining heir. Was not a joining heir. But if it had been me, the demon talked to me, I would have said, you know me too. And that's it. You know me too. So get out. Amen.
Right. Uh-huh. That's
good. Because he said, if you're children of God, if you're a child of God, understand the power that's in you. He even said, The same power that raised Jesus from the dead, meaning death, which is the worst thing that can happen to a man on earth. Death can't do nothing to you. The worst thing that can happen to you on this earth is death. And because of what Jesus did, he took sting out of death. No victory in the grave. And so we should not live. That's why he said, earlier he said, don't be, again, take on the bondage of fear. Fear shouldn't be with us at all because we are children of God who owns everything, who have our best futures at hand. If you know your daddy got your back, you ain't got to worry about it. And something don't look right, okay, daddy, you're going to come through. I don't understand. I don't know how you're going to do it. But I know you're going to do it. That's what faith is. And the hope is that I'm gonna hold out until it happens. I'm gonna stand still until it happens. I don't have to do nothing with my daddy. If you want me to do something, then tell me. Because my daddy got it. Because I am an heir to the joint of the kingdom. So if you suffer with me. You'll be glorified with him. Because why? We begin to know, when we know him in the power of suffering, we really get to know him. If you don't know him by suffering, you don't know God. Because if everything going good, you going to do them drive-through prayers, them drive-by prayers. But when trouble comes, you're going to slingshot like you're going to get down to Kneebone Valley and you're going to stay there till God, you feel something from God. So in your suffering, although the suffering is going to get you close, again, get you closer to him. Only thing God put on you is for it. Not to kill you, not to destroy you, not to do anything bad to you, but to get you close. And the more trouble you get, something. Yeah, you know, some of my kids, the more you whoop them, the better they, some of them get. And some of them get worse. Feeling get worse sometimes. But the more trouble comes, the more you begin to understand who he loves. He must have loved me. That's why it's happening. And the bottom line is working everything good. We're going to get to that later on. Everything works for us. Right? I don't want to jump ahead. But so then it says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time, you can't even compare. The suffering that you get now, it's just like they tell you, when a mother is given birth to that child, that pain is monstrous. Seen it, I ain't felt it. I say, I've seen it, I know. And so, but after the baby is born, then the pain is almost forgotten because of the child. And so, if you ever can think about, you had to suffer a tap like that compared to streets of gold. Totally different. Slippers, golden slippers, gold, all these things that's here for you. You got something?
Oh, I'm just thinking that as you were preaching, earlier you said that all our suffering brings us closer to God. I thought about the scripture that Jesus learned obedience by the things he suffered. Now, that's Jesus. So it brought him closer to God. So when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, God had already said, when he was baptized, thou art my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. But he went through that suffering, and when he got ready to go through the Garden of Gethsemane, God had affirmed him. And I believe that he thought about that affirmation. You are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And though you're suffering, You are my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And don't you remember to learn obedience by the things you suffer to get closer to go through the cross. Amen.
We all, the cross does not even an issue with you. Jesus, whipping, that was an issue. You know the real issue was?
The joy.
Separation from God. Never experienced that before. And that's what sin is. The penalty of sin is being separated from God. That's what Adam brought onto the world. The first Adam brought onto the world, we became separated from God. Jesus' agony was, my God, he didn't say my Father. My God, why have thou forsaken me? Because this is the penalty of Jesus. That's why he said, when you let that cup. Is there another way? How do you be separated from God? Yes. That's the truth. He has a faith, death, for us. He has a walk. He has a walk through this. And begin to take all the thing out. And leave it helpless. Leave death helpless. Well, he got up and said, all power is in my hand. Hallelujah. I got the keys of death and hell. And everything. And the grave. He has all power. But he had to go to death. So if we want to take sting out of stuff in our lives, guess what? You got to go through it. You got to go through it. I go through it. Jesus would have never been able to take the thing out of death if he didn't go to death. He could have set up in hell and say, hey, okay, damn, salvation is good. No, he came down and walked through. And if he did that as an example for us, now we, he came and showed us how to do it. He showed us how to live this life. The temptation of Adam did, he had the same temptation as I mean, it was. He had the same temptation. So he showed us that it's going to take the work. And when we talk about the spirit, only thing that can capture a spirit or control a spirit is a spirit.
Preach, preach, preach.
And the word is spirit.
Yes, and life.
Now, our word is spirit. God's spirit. It's spirit. God's word is spirit and life.
Yes.
Okay? So when we think about a word that's coming, and it's the word of God, that's why Jesus said he could have picked anything to say. And it would have been scripture. It would have been read in the Bible. But you know what he did? He pulled a scripture. Because the word of God, it got spirit and life. He said, it is good. he didn't take on himself and say, but he teaching us how to walk through this life.
Yes.
Don't do it without the word. Because that's the spirit. The Holy Ghost is the spirit.
Hallelujah.
We need the word and the Holy Ghost.
Yes, yes.
To navigate ourselves through this life. So no matter what we go through, we're going to be like the Hebrew boy. Hey, I'm persuaded.
Yes.
That my God is able to deliver.
Yes, Lord.
And if he don't,
still going to serve him.
If he don't deliver, he's still able. It don't change God. So when you know you're a child of God, it don't change your position. It don't change your circumstances. You won't deal with it anyway because you are a child of God.
Yes.
But if he don't even do it, he's still able.
And if you be children.
And it, oh, yeah, you got to know your child.
Yeah.
You got to know. That's why here to say we got to work out our own soul salvation.
Yes.
With fear and trembling.
Yes.
And we're being careful. He said, not in fear that we're scared of something. No, because we want to make sure we're scared of something.
Reverence.
And we ain't
taking no chances on anything. If I think I've done you wrong, I'm going to punch you. If it looks like I said something to you wrong, I'm going to say forgive you. Because I ain't not, God ain't nothing, ain't going to be a part of my life. Because I'm a child of God. Jesus humbled himself to the death of the cross. Why can't I humble somebody talking about it? He had folks that denied him. He had folks that he prayed. He loved him. Peter thought it was over for him. But Jesus said, tell my disciples and Peter. Now, he didn't say tell my disciples. But he knew that Peter's heart was broken. He knew Peter's spirit was broken.
Right.
So he called him, oh, my God. God will call you by your name. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. He called and said, tell my disciples and Peter. Meet me over in Galilee. Because you ain't finished yet. Still got work for you to do.
Right.
Even though you stumble, even though, because I know, like we said before, he already knew Peter was going to deny. He told him. Peter knew he was going to deny. But he didn't believe until it happened. When it happened, Jesus looked him dead in the face. And then
because he said, tell the disciples, and Peter, he made it clear, if there's any doubt in anybody's mind that I'm mad with Peter, let me get rid of that doubt right now. He called Peter by name to show them, I love Peter just as much as I love you and you and you. You better leave that alone. That's all I got to say. You, man, oh my God.
Hallelujah.
The lesson is about spirit, and that particular scripture was talking about how Jesus restored a broken spirit, because he said, "Peter, let Peter know, Peter all sad, and when he denied him, he said he wept, he bitterly wept, and so he was sitting around, you know." What am I going to do now? Tell the disciples. But I'm a disciple and Peter. So you're back in the fold. You are the disciple. You are back in the
fold.
Yeah.
Even though you fall, you fail. Still, child of God. You ain't get everything right, but you still a child of God.
Tell the Christians and Mary, John, Paul, and little Ray Ray, all of them.
Yeah,
all of them that left. Little Ray Ray. Tell them. Tell them. Your spirit can be restored. Your spirit can be restored.
Yeah.
Tell everybody at Light of the World and the ones that are left.
Yeah.
Your spirit can be restored.
Your spirit can be restored. Jesus did it for Peter. He can do it for you.
That's a good one. Evangelist.
Children of God. We're children of God. No matter what we go through in this life, it cannot compare. It's like you upset a Volkswagen from you and give you a life. I used to compare them to you. Somebody had, I ain't talking about the new Volkswagen, I'm talking about a brother that is really bold. What do you call it? Hoopie? Somebody took your hoopie and gave you a Lamborghini. How you going to be upset about that? That's how you're comparing. That's Paul is trying to compare. That the suffering you suffer right now, the loss of that hoopie, compared to you receiving a Lamborghini. There's no comparison. There's no comparison. Somebody took you out a one-room house and gave you a palace. How you going to compare? So the suffering you're going through now, that's how we love to look at it. So what if they took that? God got something better. And no matter what happens, you know that for the rest of life, not your life, for the rest of existence, for the rest of everything else, you're going to be better. This life here, you might suffer some stuff. But at the end of this, the time zone, and when time is finished, eternity begins, your life is going to be better. you can't lose. You can't. There's nothing that can stop you from prospering when this life is over. So when this life is over, they say every day will be Sunday. Howdy, howdy, and never goodbye. You can walk around heaven all day. Hallelujah. I mean, singing gospel. I mean, just saying, holy, holy is the Lamb God Almighty. I mean, when you get your crown, your precious crown, God, the presence of God is going to be so great that you're going to take your crown off your head and just lay it at his feet. So how are you going to compare some suffering? Oh, they treat me wrong. Oh, don't worry about it. Some glad morning. When this life is over, woo, I'll fly away. Woo, like a bird set out of cage, I'll fly away. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is my co-heir, my Savior, my Lord. Amen.
I think the theme is the spirit in Romans 8, and it keeps going back to the spirit even. You know, we can endure suffering because of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Peter is restored because of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I love you because of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
If you try to live this life without the spirit, you
can't do it. You'd be just like those people who a gifted and realize they need some assistance, but they get the wrong spirit. So we got the right, if we get the Holy Ghost, he'll assist us, he's going to lead us. Oh, yeah, I mentioned it earlier. Yeah, we talked about Prince and Michael Jackson and all that. Yeah, so they went after the wrong spirit, but they they know they needed experience.
Yes.
But they went to the wrong spirit. So those of us who know which spirit to go after to get help, to assist us in this life, because we can't feed God in the flesh. And when I say flesh, it ain't the natural flesh. It's the carnal mind,
yes,
which is our soul. That's where sin is. It ain't our bodies. Although we say flesh, but it ain't bodies. Because God created these bodies. When he created stuff, he spoke everything in existence, right? The only thing he spoke, the only thing he touched was man. He spoke, oh my God, we need to go. He put his hands on man, formed him from the dust of the earth, and made him, and then put his breath in, made him a living soul.
As you talk, I heard a quote, our spirits are saved, our souls are being saved, our bodies are still saved. That's the thing we are saved.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We made him this image and like Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Body, spirit, soul. Amen. We've passed our time already. I thank God. Come on and clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And y'all go ahead and get your offerings together. If you have a card or whatever, you need an envelope. Do you have that envelope?
Yeah, we stopped at 18, so we'll start at 19 next time. So let's look at expectation. Let's look at it next time. Do some research on expectation that the creature is waiting on the manifestation of the sons of God. Expectation on the manifestation of the Son of God. It's waiting on us. When you see the earth acting like it's acting, it's waiting to stand up. Amen. Yeah, we need to get up. We need to show our hands. Wait a minute. That's it. Amen. So we thank God for you and the family. Father God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this offering about to receive. Oh God, we ask you to bless it. Oh God, let it be a multiplication of it, oh God, in the name of Jesus. God, we restore it back to us tenfold, a hundredfold, fiftyfold. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to dismiss us from this place, God, but never from your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you all so much. This is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. Man. That is the last
one. And you got so much you can't say
it.
We got to go.
Okay.
Keep me in prayer because they messed up my car.
Oh, Lord, the blood of Jesus.
So, let's
begin
prayer.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, you represent God well. Representing well.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I found I had the Lord. I didn't hear my Lord. It was the Lord sitting in the Lord. That could have locked up my moment. And then on top of that, the front end, I've been complaining about that. The guy told me if something had a cop, I would have had an accident. So, you know, God,
thank you. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Wow. Thank you very much, man. I appreciate you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we watched about 1 minute of it. I was like, and I said, this ain't us. This ain't no. You know, it's a spirit, man.
I know, man.
You know.
And you know your eye gate, because the thing is with the movies, you know, there's a thing called subliminal.
Right.
That now some stuff you actually see is crazy.
Right.
So think about what's in the background of that you ain't seeing.
Right. Yeah. Man. My youngest daughter.
To check our eye gates. So I'm telling you, in the spirit.
Yeah.
Like subliminal, it's a spirit.
Oh, yeah.
You don't see it. But your spirit sees it. Ain't that something? It's amazing, man. If you don't actually see it, yeah. But your spirit sees it. All right, man. Appreciate you guys. Turn this air on. Thank Miss Bob, you doing all right? You doing all right?
I'm like, who is this creature? Who are they talking about?
It's just everything that lives.
So it should be creation.
The creature is the ones who created.
Okay.
Everything that lives,
mm-hmm.
everything that breathes, everything that exists
mm-hmm.
is the creature.
It's the creature.
Yeah. So the creature is weight. That's why.
So all of creation. Another way of saying all of creation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, I look deep in this because we're on next week. By next week, we have some more stuff.
Because I read that it was subject into that, it was put into vanity. I didn't really understand that. I'm going to look it up.
And you know, being Bass is just talking, and when you think about the spirit, just how subliminal stuff. You know, you can be watching a movie,
mm-hmm.
and they'll show you something. Your natural eyes don't see it, but your spirit sees it. It's called subliminal.
Mm-hmm.
You know about it.
Yeah, I've heard that.
So, just think about it. Your natural man can't even see it,
mm-hmm.
but because it's spirit subliminal, your spirit sees it and long for it. Long for it. That's when you go to the movies. That's why you want a hot dog. They just put it right across the screen, but
yeah.
You don't see it. You don't see it across the screen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Popcorn pops up. You don't see it. You don't see it on the screen.
Yeah.
Your natural man don't even see it.
Yeah.
Your
spirit sees it and
long for it. That's the bad part.
The uncreated spirit. That's why it cahoots with the flesh. That's why you want to eat.
Yeah. Yeah, man.
I don't think subliminal affects the Holy Spirit, but
the natural spirit. Yeah, we do because we are spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. The natural spirit.
Yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh.
And the soul.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The soul. That's it. Thank you, man. I'm glad you came, man. Thank you so much, man.
No, man.
Great input.
Awesome.
We need you.
When you hear the word, you're prompted.
Yeah.
You're prompted.
Okay. Yeah. You did good too, man. Okay. That's it. Okay. Fine.
Why, they have some money as well?
I'm trying to
get
my
push
on.
Uh-huh. I mean, don't do that. Long time. I've been already there, they're over on a street. there some labels right now that they're going to put a curfew into effect right now. And the latest gauge reading has gone to 6.7 for the Idleford, and now the gauge is stopped reporting. So that has been a record surge already, and we're 2 feet above the record surge. It's stopped reporting at this point. So Fort Myers, we're looking at you with those wild winds, and the winds are going to rain, but we also have the surge coming in at dangerous levels.
And already setting a record with some of the levels, the old record, 4 feet, this is well above that already. We mentioned the curfew. Police saying time to stay in, do not go out. Again, it's Naples to South Fort Myers. Look at all the rain, trying to walk back to shelter there in the safer space. But even then, getting into the wind, we're going to figure out, does the top 40 show the wind and the rain coming down? And we've been watching this earlier as well, where, you know, just visibility has dropped significant. And treating it up, even around the room,
let's take it over to Mr. Lake on the National Rescue Center. I'll say this coming in right now. We've got the animal right here. We've been able to take a look yet at the
that's
the first run coming in from
the National Hurricane Center. Yeah, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. No change to the intensity of the hurricane. Ian, great job. They do it correct. Thank you, Cole. All right, here we are. We've got a tornado warning right now. This is over our guy until 2:30. We've got the bands of tropical moisture and heavy rain